on my heart tonight is just this thought: purity precedes power. Purity precedes power. Of all the things that I have sensed in my spirit that I need, and I think that most of us, if not all of us, need, is we need power with God. Power with God. The ability, our natural ability, is just so limited that we're not able to deal with needs that we face, all kinds of different types of needs. We need help from God. We need power with God. And I'll read these verses, and you'll see later how I'm going to tie all this in, hopefully. But this is the story in Joshua 7 of the trespass of Achan and what he did, the sin that he committed against the Lord. Chapter 7 and verse 1, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the Lord, the hearts of the people melted and became as water." You can see a major change that took place because of the sin of Achan. And I'll get back to that in just a moment. We need spiritual power in our lives. And if you want to be used of God, you're going to have supernatural power, spiritual power. If you're going to be a vessel that God can use, you're going to have His Spirit, His power, His blessing, His anointing upon your life. And if you don't want to be used of God, then you've really got a problem. Because everyone that is a Christian should want to find a place, a calling, a gift, a ministry, a way that you can be used of the Lord, whether it be small or great. It might just be holding a puppy. But whatever that the Lord, whatever little opportunity that the Lord gives to you, you need power. And you can see that this is a thread that ran through in the book of Acts. It was the major theme of the book of Acts. It's the story. The Acts of the Apostles really could be better defined as the Acts of the Holy Ghost through the Apostles. What they were able to do by the Spirit. And Jesus, you know, I know this is familiar to you, but Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. And Acts 1 and 8 is really the key verse to all of the book of Acts. It says that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You shall receive power. That word, the Greek word, is dunamis, which just means supernatural power, explosive power. You know, we know that we get our English word dynamite from dunamis. And you know that whenever something needs to be moved that can't be moved by sledgehammers and picks and hammers and shovels or any other way, then many times they'll just use dynamite. And it will move the immovable. A big explosion, but it will move it. And so whenever he said, you're going to receive power, you're going to receive a power to move and to shake anything, to change anything, power that's sufficient for any kind of a obstacle or a stronghold or attack of the enemy, whatever that it might be, you shall receive power. Now, I need that kind of power. I need that kind of power. And we need, as a church, we need that kind of a power. But you have to, as you notice the rest of verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, you shall receive this power, this dunamis, explosive power that is up to anything. No matter what the challenge is, it's sufficient for that challenge. But it says you're going to receive it after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Witnesses. And the Greek word is the word martus, from which we get our English word martyr. And basically what Jesus was saying to those early disciples is, I'm going to give you the power necessary so that you will be able to communicate the gospel. No matter what the situation is, you're going to have the power, and even to the point, if it means laying down your life, even if it's to the point that it's the sacrifice of your own life that others might be saved. And you know that almost all of those 12 disciples were martyrs, and there were many since the church's inception. There were many hundreds and thousands down through the centuries who have sacrificed for the gospel's sake, and they received the power of God to be able to stand up to whatever the challenge was, even if it meant laying down their own life. That's a power that we need today, a power that causes us to be willing to do whatever the Lord asks us to do. Amen. You see, when you go into some of the neighborhoods, the one that we went into down in Lilly area during the Kids Crusade, rough area, rough. I'm talking, one of the rougher places I've ever been to knock on doors. You're not quite sure what's going to open the door and how you're going to be received. I wouldn't really want to go in there after dark. And I really wouldn't want to go in there all by myself, because it's just a lot of people that are living very dangerous lives. Their lives are so messed up with sin, involved in all kinds of addictions, and the lifestyle is just so godless that when you go places, you have to, we go into places like that from time to time, and we need power to be able to do that. We need power to be able to minister to people. And there are many times in situations that I personally deal with in my family that I feel like, Lord, I am just powerless. I wish I could change the hearts of people. I wish I could turn them around. I cannot. But God wants us to have power in our lives, and it's available for us, power that's sufficient for whatever the challenge is. No matter what you're facing, there is power to face these challenges. When you go to chapter 2 of the book of Acts, there was, after the Spirit of God was poured out upon them in Jerusalem, and Peter stood up to preach at the close of that chapter, as he preached to them and concluded his message there in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were pierced in their hearts. The Word of God was more than just a Bible lesson. The Word of God was a message from God, empowered by the Spirit, and there was this convicting work of the Spirit of God that pierced their heart and brought all of these religious people to the place of saying, what can we do? What can we do? What must we do about the situation? Our sinfulness. And so conviction. In chapter 1, we see that there's power for us to be effective witnesses to no matter how difficult the situation is. In chapter 2, we see that the Holy Ghost was poured out so that there would be power, convicting power, that would fall upon the hearts and the minds and the hearts of men and bring them to the place of repentance. Amen. So we need power for witness. We need power for Holy Ghost conviction to fall. Amen. Oh, yes, we do. Your loved ones, my loved ones, those that we're asking the Lord to save them, some of you that are praying for God to bring, you know, cause these prodigals to come back. It takes the Spirit of God to awaken them. The Spirit of God to help them to see right where they're at, where they're going, the pathway that they're on, the destruction that's ahead, and the Holy Ghost can bring conviction to them. I can't, you can't, but the Spirit of God working in our lives can. So I'm trying to establish the fact for us here tonight that without the power of God's Spirit in our lives, we might as well just forget it. We're not going to get anything done as the church. We have to have power with God. Power with God. In chapter 3, Peter and John, as it was their custom to go up to the temple. On this day, though, there's this lame man that was regularly laid there at the temple, was asking for alms, asking for just a little bit of help, a coin, just something even small. They didn't have anything to offer. But what they did have, they said, we're going to give this to you. We don't have any coins. We don't have any money. We don't have anything as far as worldly goods are concerned. But what we do have. They had power to deal with the needs of people. That whatever the needs were, they were able, by the Spirit of God, to provide the answer to those, even those camped out just outside the church that were lame and powerless to help themselves. He was laid there at that place every day. That was his life. He couldn't do anything about his life, and they would walk by. Day after day after day. But this day, there is power in their life. There is power in their life, and they understand. And you know the story. That they reached down, they lifted this man up. His feet and his legs were strengthened, and he went leaping, running, and praising God. And you talk about stirring things up. The power of God to meet the needs of those outside of the church. Amen. And we have them all the time. Sometimes we go to where they are, and sometimes they come to us. But God wants us to have power to minister to them and to help them. And I feel powerless many, many times to know what to do, what to say, how to help them. But I know that there is power available for the people of God to face any circumstance. In chapter 4, they're persecuted for what they have been preaching. Commanded to not preach anymore in the name of the Lord. And it says that once they're released from those who were holding them in confinement, it says in verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Power to pray through every situation. To pray through and to see the walls brought down. Now, I went through that just to describe, and there's a lot of other things in the book of Acts, because I said it's the whole theme, really, of the book of Acts, is power demonstrated through the lives of different ones of the apostles and those that were used of God. That's what the book of Acts is all about. But now back to Joshua chapter 7. And that is the terrible thing that happened. Remember, they have just come out of this glorious victory. The walls of Jericho had fallen down. And all of this wonderful supernatural show of God's power on their behalf. But now the Bible says that Achan has done the accursed thing. He has taken of those items that was commanded that they not take. And as a result, the whole nation is crippled. The whole nation is affected. And it's because of that trespass, that sin of one, he was affected, his family was affected, the whole nation was affected. Whenever someone fell into a lie and into impurity. Purity precedes power. I believe that we need power. I need power. And as a church, we need the power of God. And the pathway to that power is personal purity before God. Amen. Personal purity. I have dear people in the ministry to me over the last months that have fallen into terrible sin, almost more than I can bear. Overwhelming. What led to this? What led to this? How did this happen in the lives of men of God? How? None of us here tonight are any better. None of us here tonight are any stronger. The only thing that will help us to be able to face the challenges, the temptations and the lies and the attack of the enemy, the only way that we can walk in power in a world that is so opposing the things of God is if we determine in our hearts, by the grace of God, that we're going to take the steps necessary to walk in purity before God. Amen. To walk in purity before the Lord. One sin in the nation affected a man. It affected the loss of life, the loss of a battle that should have easily have been won. Everything was changed because sin had entered in to the camp. And that impurity, that trespass, that going against the will of God, it brought them down to destruction. Yes, it does. You see, one of the things that happens whenever you allow yourself to move into any area of sin or impurity is your fellowship with God, your relationship with God is broken. It's just broken. So you're not able to pray. You're not able to really even worship. You're not able to be what, that your relationship is broken. There's this trespass that's there in Achan's life, and he's affected, his family's affected, the whole nation is affected by it. I have to tell you that's exactly the way it is. Whenever there's the impurity that comes into your life, then before you know it, it affects your relationship with God. It's broken. You don't have the fellowship with God, the relationship with the Lord that you need to have and you must have. So our fellowship with God is broken whenever there's impurity. The Bible says in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Your fellowship with God is broken if you allow that to enter into your life. If you found it difficult to pray, if you found it difficult to even to enter into the things of God, to worship, to have an interest in the Word of God, and then it may be that you need to allow God to cleanse you, to purge you, to purify you. Amen. And only He can do that. Only He can do that. And He can cleanse your heart, cleanse your mind, cleanse your thoughts, cleanse you in every area of your life and restore. That's what David said. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. David's prayer in Psalm 51 was a prayer. I want to get back to that place that I'm back in fellowship with the Lord, because once the impurity becomes a part of your life, then the fellowship is broken down. And you're no longer in right relationship with the Lord, and you have no power. You're powerless. You're powerless. So impurity in your life, whenever you do the wrong thing, when you sin against God and against your conscience, as Achan did. He's affected, his family's affected, and look at these people that went up against Ai. 36 of them died, and those 3,000 well-trained soldiers, those that should have been easily able to take Ai, they fall when they should have easily have been able to win that victory. Amen. Impurity makes you very vulnerable to the enemy. When you allow things to come into your life, into your spirit, into your mind, into your heart, then it makes you vulnerable. It makes you prey to the enemy. It makes you a target of the enemy. That's why that we must maintain our fellowship with the Lord, our relationship with the Lord, and we on a regular basis. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, would you cleanse my heart, my mind, wash me thoroughly, thoroughly, cleanse me, blot out all the every stain, everything that's in my heart, everything that's in my mind, cleanse me, wash me. It's okay to pray that kind of a prayer on a regular basis. It's the right thing to do. Some of you have had this experience I have of going to church and the Spirit of God just work in my life so powerfully, and the Word of God that would be so powerful that I literally felt like that I just had a spiritual cleansing. Amen. If you had that kind of experience, just like the Lord used His Word and His anointing and the working of the Spirit of God, and you just felt like you were cleansed. Praise God. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. So impurity breaks your fellowship with God. Impurity, it causes you to be vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy and to be afraid, to be fearful. They ran from an enemy that could have easily have been defeated. They were fearful. They had no confidence. They had no courage. 1 John 3:21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence. We have confidence toward God. When you had a cleansing, when your fellowship with God is real and fresh and new, and you're walking in the things of the Lord, then according to that scripture, then we have a conscience that's clear before God. And as a result of that, we have confidence. We have boldness. Not on our own, not on the basis of our own ability or strength, but just on the basis of the fact that we know that we're in right standing with God. And because of that, we have confidence. If our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Amen. Then you can pray more effectively, and you can work for God, and you can be bold in your witness and your testimony. Your faith is strong, and you can step out. And the enemy wants to beat you down and destroy you. And some of your friends and loved ones have been beaten down by the lies of the enemy. And as a result of that, they are condemned and they have no confidence toward God. No confidence toward God. One of the most stirring things to me is the fact that the whole nation was brought to a standstill. That means if the purity, or if the purity of one individual, if the pastor strays away from God and from the things of God, the whole church is affected by that. All of us are affected by it. Do you know that the same thing is true of any of us who are part of the body? We all feel the effect of it. If people have become carnal, people have allowed themselves to take on the things of the world, and they have become so involved and so in love with the things of this world, and they are moving into areas of sinful practice, and impurity is a part of their life, then I believe that the whole church is affected by that. We're all brought to a standstill. So one of the most wonderful things before we can expect power, the power of the power to witness, and the power to see Holy Ghost conviction, and the power to see God moving among the lost and those outside of the church, before we can experience any of that kind of power, there has to be a revival of purity in all of our lives. revival of holiness before God. Amen. Amen. Now, I just want to challenge you all to take a look at this and realize that the severity of the way that God dealt with this transgress. Achan, all of his family, stoned, destroyed, even the remembrance of them to be removed. Read it. All gone. The whole nation is brought to this sorrow and the grief of what's happening in their nation, the loss of lives, the loss of their power with God. I mean, they have just come through this amazing victory where God supernaturally brought down the walls of Jericho and gave to them a victory that was really impossible for them. It was just God's power that caused all that to happen, the walls to come down and to give them a victory over that great fortress of Jericho. It's because they were walking in faith. They were walking in purity and holiness before God, and they had power with God. But whenever impurity enters in to our life, in whatever way, let me tell you, there's so many things the enemy uses, wanting to gain access to your life, to your thoughts, to your spirit, to your whole life. He wants to invade you and me in whatever way that he can. He will do just that. But we need to be reminded tonight of the fact that there's no power with God until we're walking in purity before him. We're going to be making preparations for revival. And I don't want to really wait on the evangelist to get here. It's not till up in September. But I'm talking about revival this coming Sunday. A move of God. I need that. You need that. And even more, some of these that have visited the church and others that are standing outside. I don't mean physically standing outside, but they're not in this place. They're not in the body for whatever reason. We need power with God. We need supernatural power with God. Amen. And purity is the pathway. It's the way. Cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Come before the Lord. Allow God to turn on the light, to reveal any wicked way in you. Ask the Lord, help me to see. In some of these instances of brethren that have fallen into gross sin, it is no doubt the result of the enemy's one-time access and then never dealing with it, never saying, oh God, that cannot be in my life. There's no, you know, it's not a sinful thing to be tempted. We're all tempted. The sin comes whenever we don't come back to the Lord and ask him for grace and strength to help us to be victorious, overcoming against those temptations. Amen. Recognizing our need, we all fall prey to the temptation of the enemy of our soul. Satan hates you. He hates the church. He hates every one of us. He hates every family. He hates every marriage. He knows the potential of lives in my family, in your family. And that's the reason why that he is trying to move in. He's trying to bring destruction in the lives of people. What can we do about it? We have no power against these forces against us. The only way that we can enter into that power with God is through a relationship with Jesus of purity and holiness before God, asking the Lord, Lord, cleanse me, wash me completely, thoroughly, remove every wicked way, take all of these things, Lord, from my life, because I need power. I need power to face the challenges of these times. Amen. Amen. I don't know how well I'm getting this across here tonight, but I want you to know that there is no power. Because we talk about You know, in Pentecostal circles, a lot of times we think if we, you know, have a meeting and everybody shouts and dances and that we have that's power. Well, I mean, I'm not against it. I think it's wonderful and it's glorious whenever God moves by His Spirit in our lives. But what He's wanting to do is He's wanting to bring about a change in us. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. He's wanting to change you. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses. You'll be able to lay down your life and step out and speak for God. You'll have the confidence and the faith to step out and be what God would have you to be through the power of the Spirit of God. And quite frankly, in many situations, I have felt powerless. And I'm asking the Lord, Lord, give me power. Give me power. And each one of us in the body, give us power to deal with all different types of challenges that we face in these days. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Purity precedes power. Amen. Let's stand. Father, oh Lord, oh Lord. We are all responsible. Every one of us. We all have this need, Lord. Lord, we're without strength. We're without spiritual power. And Lord, we're facing challenges in these last days that without your power in our life, we're going to fail. We're just going to crumble at the challenges of the enemy. But Lord, by your Spirit and by your power that you've made available to the church and to the people of God, we can withstand and we can face anything that the enemy brings our way by the power of the Spirit of God in our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the promise that we have. Oh, Lord, I just pray that you'll do a work in all of us so that whenever we pray, that we have a conscience that's clean before you, so that we can have boldness and confidence when we pray. We can have faith. We can pray with an assurance that you are at work, you are going to move, you're going to answer the prayer from the basis of our standing in you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. Purge us and cleanse us and purify us, Lord, I pray. Lord, make us a holy people that is filled with your Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen.